independent public radio for Fargo, Moorhead, and the Valley. Also on the web at www.10fm.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday night. It is Attitude Era Live Time here on 89.1 KENZ FM. Welcome aboard. As always, we have a great lineup of guests, and we have our ever-so-popular co-host, Granny. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you, Icon, for asking. I hope everybody's doing good out there.
And as we found out before we hit the air, that Granny is the most popular of the three co-hosts on this show, and I guess I need to get out and rock the vote a little more. However, we can discuss that a little later. We have a great show tonight here. As a matter of fact, we got three great guests here. We got Mark Jordan. We'll be talking to him shortly. We're going to have Frank C. Bressing, one half of the Cuban Assassins. And we're also going to have James Bessinus. He's got a TV show that he's going to talk to us about. And as a matter of fact, the Icon, believe it or not, is going to try and pitch himself to get a guest spot on that show at some point this season. So we'll see if that works. As everybody knows, when the Icon pitches himself to be on a TV series, I'm still here in Fargo. So we'll see what happens, hopefully. My luck will change on that. So, anyway, we got a few minutes here, then we're going to go to our guest. But, so, Granny, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was okay. Nothing spectacular. I mean, went to a wrestling show Saturday and had a good time, as always, and, you know, so.
Did any wrestlers
get Chiefs
space
won, my Chiefs won yesterday, so that made me very happy.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it was touch and go there for the Chiefs there for a while, and of course my Vikings fell a little short, and Big Swing's team is doing pretty good, as he sent us a nice little reminder. You know, I'm really starting to get bored of that "how about them Cowboys" thing, but well, you know, I'll tell you,
say, how about them Chiefs?
Or, and then, you know, when whenever you say that, you know, that Big Swing likes to, you know, play a few things and
touchdown!
Bears!
Boo!
And, yeah. And so, yeah, so we're not going to play big swings, a little thing here, but we're going to get the ball rolling here. I'm going to introduce our first guest. We'll go right to that, and then we'll have some fun here. And let us begin. So, ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, about to step in the ring right now, ladies and gentlemen, I give you the man about town, the king of independent wrestling as we speak right now, the up-and-comer, the All-American. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mark Johnson. Jordan.
Hey, sorry. This is Mark Jordan. You're listening to the Attitude Era live on 89.1 KENS FM with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, and, of course, none other than sweetest lady on earth, Granny Hoekstra.
All right. Hey,
well,
hey, Granny, he's already sucking up to you.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you for that nice compliment.
Seems like
welcome
a sweet
to the
lady.
Show.
Yeah, well,
thank
you know, apparently
you
heard that. Well, apparently he heard that Granny got 90% of the votes for favorite host on the show. We'll talk about that more later. So, Mark, here's how we're going to do this. If you want to give us a little background about yourself, and then we'll ask you a few questions, and we'll go to Granny, then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. So go ahead. Give us a little background.
Okay. So 2 years ago, I started training in Memphis, Tennessee. I got screwed around at a few promotions, and then I found the promotion that, you know, just hit home for me, and that was USA Championship Wrestling, and that was Burt Prentice's promotion, and he died not too long ago. He died like a few months ago. I don't know if you've ever heard of Burt Prentice, but he used to run USWA in the early 90s, and from from USWA, it went to USA Championship Wrestling, and, you know, very excited to call that place my home. But I think they're going to have their last show this month. I'm actually not working for them anymore. I'm actually working for a different promotion. They only run, like, twice a month. But, you know, with my mother, you know, my mother died last month, and I've been having to deal with that, so I haven't been worrying too much about bookings. You know, I'll take a few bookings here and there, you know, on a Friday or Saturday, you know, whatever I can do, you know, to, you know, have matches and stuff, you know.
Well, we're sorry to hear about your mom, and I had a relative that passed away this weekend, and like I said, we'll talk about that a little more later.
Okay.
However, so now you mentioned that you started out with a couple of promotions that didn't exactly treat you fairly. And if you elaborate on it a little bit.
You want me to elaborate a little bit?
Yeah,
okay,
just a little.
So the first promotion that I went to was called 901 Wrestling. And the way I got my foot into the door was helping set up the ring and take the ring down. So, you know, once I started doing that for a few months, I thought, you know, well, I'm ready to get in the ring and train, and, you know. But it didn't exactly go as planned. So what really helped me the most was actually refereeing matches. That way we could actually call spots and stuff in the ring, or there, you know, the wrestlers are telling you a spot to go tell the other guy. That way he doesn't mess up the spot, you know. And, you know, that was probably the most beneficial part of training, was being a ref first before even having matches.
Well, you know, we have, we'll talk about that a little bit here. We got Mark Jordan as our guest here. We got 37 minutes here with Mark. Now, you know, it's like everybody talks about, you know, paying your dues, getting into wrestling, you know, starting out in the ring crew, you know, like you said, putting the ring up, taking it down, hauling it from town to town, and then becoming a referee, maybe doing some ring announcing, learning the business, and then training. Now, you know, so you started doing that for the promotion, and then you know, when you mentioned to them that they were ready, what, did they just say that, no, you're not ready yet, you still have some things that we need you to do?
Well, here's the thing. They were talking about having a school, but, you know, I basically knew they wasn't going to, you know, have a school because I don't think it's in their funds or, you know, finances or whatever. But so I just decided to go to a different promotion. And, you know, a lot of people would call these mud shows, but, you know, mud shows are places that, you know, doesn't really draw good crowds or, you know, maybe the wrestling's not the best. But, I mean, really, I think mud shows are probably the best place to start out. Maybe not safety-wise, but learning the actual act of wrestling or, you know, learning from other people, you know, that has been doing it longer than you, you know.
Exactly.
But,
you know, and
but
then,
most recently though, ahead. I've been trying to get into women's wrestling to, you know, maybe ref a few matches because there is a lot of money in women's wrestling. I mean, I you know, when I first done my all-women show in Jackson, Tennessee last year, I had a blast. I mean, of course, the locker room atmosphere was a little bit different, but, I mean, you know, everybody knew their role, you know, and the way women go about their matches is kind of different than when men talk about their matches before they go out, you know. Very different.
Well, could you give an example of that? Like, do they talk about don't mess up my hair or I'm going to be the one that the guys listen to, stuff like that?
Well, they just call a finish and they walk and talk more. Whereas men, you know, we're kind of spot monkeys. You know, we want this, and this to go right. But nine times out of ten, you know, you don't always get every single spot right. You know, and I don't know, it's just very, very good vibes in the women's locker room whenever I was invited to the all-women show.
And
do you, and then
I don't know if you want to elaborate on this, but now do you happen to have a favorite women's wrestler from the card that you like? Kind of watching, like going, man, she could really go somewhere in the business.
Are you talking about on the indie scene or?
Well,
maybe,
in the promotion that you were talking about.
Well, I liked Nikki Victory. She's pretty good. Diana Taylor from Walnut, Mississippi. Me and her actually live in the same town, so. You know, I mean, kind of a little strange, you know, that you meet so many people, you know, that's into the same business as you, but you're still both from a small town. I don't know how big Fargo is, but, you know, we live in a town that only has probably about 5,000 people. The census is only about 5,000 people in our county, so.
Well, that's, yeah, Fargo's a little bigger than that, but, you know, the thing is about, you know, Fargo, you know, we're still growing. It looks like we're always going. We don't seem to stop. But, yeah, it's like, you know, you can tell, like, the different areas of town, like whether it be North Fargo, South Fargo, West Fargo, Horace, mm-hmm. You know, you name it. We have our good buddy here, Mark Jordan, as our guest here. We have about 31 minutes here with Mark. So now you were talking about your current promotion there, where you said that you called it home, and you know, unfortunately the promoter passed away. Now the mm-hmm. promotion, even though he has passed, is still going, correct, or is it not?
Yes, sir. But they're having their last show to benefit his funeral expenses. And anyways, his sister is taking over the promotion, and she, like, after this month, the promotion is going to fold. But yeah, back to what I was saying about, going somewhere else, and calling that place home. I think it really just depends on, where you can find your niche. And, just because you go somewhere else doesn't mean you're going to be not as valuable as somewhere else, You know what I mean?
Sure.
So that
now,
that's – yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Now with your with the wrestling style that you have, would you consider yourself to be like a high flyer, like a Rey Mysterio, a technical wrestler like a Bret Hart, or are you just that butt kicker like a Stone Cold Steve Austin? What would you say your style is?
Well, I do if I'm in a tag match, I'm usually doing the least amount of stuff because. I do the high flying stuff. I do cannonballs off the apron, off the post and stuff. I actually have videos on my TikTok of me doing that. But I would consider myself a high flyer, but I also love the chain wrestling, the old school chain wrestling. To me, that's where my favorite wrestling is chain wrestling, not so much high flying, even though I can do the high flying stuff.
Now, for our fans that might not know the term chain wrestling, could you tell us what that is?
So chain wrestling is pretty much like it's like a wrist lock. You know what a wrist lock is, right?
Yep.
How easy it is. How easy it is to reverse the wrist lock. So basically, it's like a chain. Your arms and legs are the chain. It's easy to get. It's easy to do reversals out of them, and it's easy to do work the wrist locks, arm bars, takedowns, stuff like that. The reason why it's so good is because, you could be lost in a match and you could just give somebody a headlock and you from there you can walk and talk and, maybe set the other person up for a shoulder tackle, hip toss, whatever you want to do, whatever kind of spot you want to do.
Mark Jordan, our guest here, we got 28 minutes here. We're live on 89.1 KENZ FM here in Fargo, North Dakota. So now, would you consider yourself to be a babyface, an independent, a babyface, a heel, an in-betweenie, or are you more of a crowd guy? What you let the crowd decide what you're going to be that
I've done both, but I feel like it's easier working heel, but I'm a shorter guy that unfortunately just not able to grow a beard. So, every time people look at me, they just assume I'm a babyface, but I mean – the work I've been doing right now at the promotion I'm at now, I'm doing babyface, but initially I started out as heel. And the reason why I started out heel was because it's easier for me to work that way. It's easier for me to work the crowd that way. It's easier for me to work holds that way. I could put people in between the ropes or do a couple eye pokes, eye rakes, stuff like that. It's just easier to fit in to a heel category.
Well, with that being said, Granny, we do have a heel on our hands. We have
Mr.
Jordan. We're on 89.1 KENZ FM. We got about 27 minutes. Granny, go ahead and ask a few questions.
Well, first of all, welcome to the show, and I'm very sorry for the loss of your mother. I mean, it's very difficult losing a parent. And I'm very familiar with that USA Championship wrestling that you were talking about. I'm very familiar. I was very familiar with Burt Prentice, and I never got to see any of their shows. But I have a lot of my wrestling friends from Arkansas and Tennessee that wrestled for him shows.
I've done shows out in Marianna, Arkansas. I don't know if you've heard of the promotion called APW. But, Randy Hales was there that night, and
yeah.
I don't know if you know, he was a former, I think he was a commissioner or owner at one time of USWA. I'm not too sure about that. Don't quote me on that. But,
yeah.
Hearing him talk about, the good old days, you know, just at home, you know.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with that particular organization, but there was
a
company that
it's
ran in Arkansas. There was a company that ran in Arkansas till 2013 called Traditional Championship Wrestling. They wrestled down in Fort Smith, Clarksville, Arkansas. Matter of fact, they still show the old reruns on the Little Rock area. I don't know if you're familiar with the name Golden Boy Greg Anthony. Are you familiar with that name?
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am. I've heard not so great things about Greg Anthony. I've heard him talk smack about my friends, you know, but I mean, I don't know the whole side of the story, so I won't get into that. But, you know, yes,
well,
I have heard of the Golden
Boy.
He
wrestled,
Greg Anthony.
He wrestled for TCW. Another one of my friends.
He owns his own promotion in Dyersburg, if I'm not too mistaken.
Yes, he does.
He's very Billy Graham-ish.
Yeah, well, I believe he's an ordained minister too. There was another one of my friends. They called him Space Cowboy Jason Jones out of Mid States in Harrison, Arkansas. I know he did some work for
yes, he's from Oklahoma. He done some announcing at USA Championship Wrestling.
Well, he's actually not from Oklahoma. He's actually from Arkansas. From Harrison.
Okay.
I mean, he's got a promotion in Harrison, Arkansas called Mid States Wrestling. So.
Oh, okay. Almost bought one of them T-shirts.
So I guess one of my questions to you is, probably know a lot of my wrestling friends then, one of my questions to you is, if you could have any kind of dream match, what kind of match would you want, and who would you want your opponent to be?
Oh, that's tough. You know, I think Chris Jericho would definitely be in there. You know, when I grew up, you know, 5 years old, I was watching, you know, Chris Jericho talk mad smack about Stephanie McMahon, you know, and you know, I didn't really.
I enjoyed that too.
Yeah, well, I didn't really appreciate Chris Jericho until, you know, after he left WWE, and I really got into his matches whenever he wrestled over in New Japan. Now, I don't know if you know this, but New Japan, it's a very different style of wrestling over there. It's more or less like shoot wrestling.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
just,
they take wrestling very seriously.
Crazy.
Over there.
Very seriously.
One of my very good wrestling friends from Texas actually has wrestled several times for New Japan over there. So he's from Texas. I don't know if you're familiar with the name Barrett Brown or not, but
he's wrestled for
New Japan. But no,
I've talked to a few of my friends in Reno, Nevada, who you know, they went to the dojo over there. They paid for the dojo, and then not long after that, they're getting paid to do shows in Japan. So I'm not sure how that works over there, but as far as I know, you got to get into the dojo, and then once you leave, you're able to make money.
Oh yeah. Well. Yeah, the reason why, because Granny does not like the heels. I can talk some pretty good smack to the heels when I have to. I think I would have a lot of fun talking smack to you at a wrestling show. I need to get you to Arkansas to come wrestle at a show in Arkansas. There's a company called DC Down South Championship Wrestling and DCW, and right now we're doing shows in Mulberry, Arkansas, but I need to get you up here to Arkansas because I would like to talk some smack to you. I think I would have a lot of fun playing with you. I have been told by promoters, and I've had promoters thank me for being at their show. Matter of fact, my original Granny shirt that I wear a lot of times when I go to these shows, it says, what you going to do when Granny Hulkster goes crazy on you?
Yeah, Mulberry's, is that in northern or southern Arkansas?
Well, it's about... Midway? I live in Springdale, Arkansas. I live in Springdale, Arkansas. So I live in the northwest part of Arkansas, and it's about an hour from – Mulberry is about an hour from me. So it's heading down Interstate 40 like you were going to go towards Little Rock, but you don't go nearly as far, so.
Mark Jordan's our guest here. We're on 89.1 KENZ FM live here in Fargo, North Dakota. We got about 20 minutes here. So now, Mark, I'm going to ask you a few of the tougher questions, and we'll see how you respond to them. The first thing is, you know, every independent wrestler we have on, I always ask the same question, and I'm going to put it to you. No one has ever answered the same way. Two-part question. Let's say that you're at a an event, and someone, a representative from either AEW, Ring of Honor, WWE, you know, they come up to you after the show and say, hey, we're going to have tryouts in this city close to you in such and such time. We'd like you to come check that out. Two-part question. One, is that something you'd want to do? And two, if you do get that big-time contract because they like what you do, would you not big-time us and still talk to us?
Absolutely. You know, I'm very fortunate, you know, that you give me a chance to come on your show and, you know, have a few minutes with you and, you know, talk about wrestling and stuff, you know. And, you know, with that being said, I even if I did get a contract or get a contract here or there, you know, I can't forget where I come from. You know, home's home, you know, at the end of the day, you know, after AEW or WWE, you know, there's still going to be the indie scenes, you know. Even after those days are over with, you know, it's going to be back to the indies, you know. So, no, to make a long story short, no. Yeah, absolutely. I would, you know, still come to the show and, you know, have a few words with you.
That's awesome.
Granny Hulkster.
Mark Jordan's our guest here on 89.1 KENZ FM. We have about 18 minutes. Now, we won't spend too much time on this because, you know, it is rather, depressing. You know, I thought we were turning the corner. Now we kind of went back, and I think we're going to start turning the corner again. But, we went through COVID. Now, I'm kind of curious how COVID affected you. Did you have to have shows that got canceled that are going to be scheduled? Did you have to blank out your calendar at a certain point and then start again? Tell us kind of how it affected you and how it affected your area.
It affected me pretty well. It affected me like kind of sort of, but like not so much about getting bookings, because around that time I was still training, and up until I forget when COVID started. I think it was January 2020. March is when everything shut down, but in January and February and March I was still training. And then, you know, after, you know, the government had shut down. Yeah, of course, there was a lot of shows that got shut down. But, like, probably in May or June, that's when I picked up on training again. And that's when I was finally able to have matches, you know, and me be confident and, you know, me not mess up spots and stuff. And, you know, it affected me to a great deal, I guess you could say, because there was a period of time where I didn't get in the ring for like 3 months, you know, and then I was in between promotions and stuff. So, I mean, it was hard to find a promotion that I wanted to stay at, you know, and actually train there, you know. But, you know, with Bert Prentice, you know, God rest his soul, I really appreciate what he done for me, because he did a great deal for me. You know, there'd be times where I'd, you know, come in to train, you know, he'd offer me something to eat, you know, he'd, you know, take us out to eat, whatever to suit your needs, he was always there for you. But, yeah, it did affect me somewhat, yeah.
Mark Jordan's our guest here. We're on 89.1 KENZ FM. We got about 15 minutes here, give or take a little bit. So now I'm also kind of curious about your finishing maneuver. You know, every great wrestler has a great finishing maneuver. Tell us, what is yours? What's it called? What's involved? And how devastating is it?
Well, I like to do an Olympic slam and then maybe a double underhook DDT. And then from there, if they don't kick out, I'll hit them with a Texas cloverleaf submission. I don't know.
Sounds pretty devastating to me.
I don't know. You want to find out?
No. But Big Swing might.
Well, he's not here to know, so what he don't know won't kill him, right? Or what you don't know won't kill you.
I always like to volunteer Big Swing for stuff when he's not around. That's always the best policy. Mark Jordan's our guest here. We got about 15 minutes here with Mark. And so we can do this here. If our fans want to check you out and see you, do you got a Facebook, Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
I've got TikTok. It's Mark Jordan 993 on the TikTok. You can check me out on there. I've got a few of my matches on there. I've also got a bunch of other unrelated funny stuff on there. Go check it out. Besides cutting promos at home, by myself, I love making videos and stuff and making people smile, whether it's a laugh or whatnot, I love entertaining
people. Well, I'll tell you
what,
maybe on your TikTok, you can cut a promo on me and then we can use it as a thing for our Facebook page. I think that'd be awesome.
I don't know, Scott. You may have to buy me a beer before I do that.
Well, actually, I don't know who the Scott guy is you're talking about. I go by Icon, but I don't know who the Scott guy is. But we'll go with it.
Is that your alter ego, Icon?
Yes, it is. Mark Jordan's our guest here. We got about 13 minutes here on 89.1 KENZ FM in Fargo, North Dakota. Let's talk about your schedule coming up. When is your next match? Where is it? And do you know who you're going to be facing? What's your calendar like for the next couple weeks or months?
My calendar has been very, very, very scattered because, I just lost my mother. I owe the funeral home probably about $2,000, which, isn't much. I'll have that paid off by the end of the month. But, with my mother dying, it kind of interrupted my, will to travel, because there was a point of time where I was just taking care of her. I was only taking maybe one or two bookings, a month, And
did she ever get to see you wrestle?
Yeah, she actually got to see me wrestle in May of my hometown. Yes. It was the one and only match that she watched, and she came with her sister, and yeah, she watched me. We had probably about 20 matches that night, so we started at 7 at night, didn't get done until 12. Like, there was just a lot of people there, having matches.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot.
That's awesome.
There was a bunch of people
Jordan's
there. Reggie B. Yes,
ahead,
Reggie
sir.
B. Fine was there. The Turtle Man from the Discovery Channel was there. He was there. It's amazing. These small promotions that you go to end up having big names. And you end up meeting some of these big names, and they'll help you out along the way. And whatever you learn, you could, use towards the future, But right now, I've mainly been wanting to wrestle out in Kentucky and wrestle out in Alabama more, and maybe Arkansas. I've done 2 shows in Arkansas. That's it. And also Georgia.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, the next time you do wrestle in Arkansas, we'll have to get you in touch with Granny so that she can come be in the audience and, you know, she can hold up her, Granny loves Mark Jordan signs, you know. And,
yeah, well.
Well, it, you know, if he's a heel that night, Icon, no, I'm going to be giving that man grief. You know,
well,
so that's my job.
Mark Denhersheim would say, hey, Mark, I'm over here.
At the end of the night, you'll just, you know, you'll know that I'm not a bad guy. You'll know that I'm a sweetheart, and you'll definitely be buying my T-shirt at the end of the night, guaranteed.
We'll see. You know,
well, Mark, we already know
about,
that you're a good guy.
That's what I loved about TCW, because I got to meet a lot of big name people through that organization. I mean, because, you know, they did the TV tapings, and they always had me on the front row, sitting right in the center seat, facing the camera, because they knew that Granny would always interact with the wrestlers, whether they were heel or babyface. I mean, I remember the last show that they did. It was an 8-man tag team match. It was Tommy Dreamer, King Shane Williams, Americos, and Scott Phoenix against Matt Riviera and the Empire. And it came down to Tommy Dreamer and Matt Riviera. And at the time, I was having to walk with a cane because I had not had my first knee replacement yet. And Tommy Dreamer grabbed my cane out of my hand and used it on Matt Riviera during the match.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, my God, he's got Granny Hulkster's cane. You know, he broke her cane, you know. And I'm sure you may or may not be familiar with the name of Brian Thompson, but he was Bobby Eaton's booking agent when Bobby was alive.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, he was a commentator for TCW, and Brian's like, Granny, what do you think you're doing? This is a fans bring your own weapons match.
I told King Shane Williams, I was like, man, you're going to have to stop laying in the tanning bed, because if you don't stop laying in the tanning bed, you're going to burn up in the tanning bed, and you're going to look like a
cheater. Yeah, I figured I haven't seen well, like I said, that was the last show that I actually got to see Shane Williams at, was the last. I haven't seen Shane in years. I miss getting to see him wrestle. So if you talk to him anytime soon, please tell him that Granny Hulkster from Arkansas said hello.
Okay, I will. But yeah, he's very dark, and he tells me he says he doesn't lay in the tanning bed. He just does a lot of yard work, and I'm like, well, you need to put sunscreen on or something, because you look like a Cheeto or something.
Mark Jordan's our guest here. We got about 5 minutes here left with Mark. I don't know if you'd ever want to come out this way, but out here in Fargo, North Dakota, we got a couple of promotions here that I'd like to get you hooked up with, I'll get you hooked up with the gentleman that runs that promotion, and he was a guest on our show here a couple weeks back, and he's always looking for guys to come out, and just think about this. I know you can win a match all by yourself, but I'll tell you what, if you come to Fargo, you let the Icon be your in-ring manager, I guarantee you will not lose that match. I guarantee it.
Oh, I guarantee you not, because you'll probably either hit him with a chain or hit him with a cane, and, you know, the ref will not be looking, and, well, what do you know? The guy's down. Next thing you got to pin him, right?
Well, my finishing maneuver is the junk punch him in the man business. And it always works best when the referee's back is turned, you know.
Very, very dirty.
Admit, I'm a babyface guy, but I have X-Pac heat. I'm sure you're familiar with that term. I don't know where that comes from, but I have X-Pac heat.
The 1-2-3 Kid. Well,
right,
was,
exactly.
You know, before he was before he was heel, yeah.
Yeah, you went from 1-2-3 Kid to 6 to X-Pac, yeah.
So what are the promotions that
you're talking about in Fargo? What are the names of the promotion?
I've had people reach out from Salt Lake City, Utah, you know, but, you know, with COVID going on, it'd probably be hard to make money, you know.
Right.
But that's not what it's all about. It's more about having fun, you know,
and whatnot.
Well, the one promotion here is Puppamania, and it's run by it's run by Shad Hagen, and you know, I'll admit when it comes to remembering things, my short term memory is always lacking. Again, do you remember who we had on a couple weeks ago? The promotion we had on a couple weeks ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. It was, I just drew a blank.
Oh.
But, yeah,
I'll find it here real quick. I just got to look back in, my notes here real quick. Bear with me 1 second, sorry. That's what happens when you have a short term memory.
So I have one question for Granny.
Okay.
What is your opinion on TV tapings? Would you say they're more enjoyable to watch, or they're not so much enjoyable to watch because the matches are shorter, or do you feel like everything's a little bit too choreographed? Or I mean, what's your opinion on TV tapings?
Well, now, when TCW did their TV tapings, I mean, they did a pretty good job. Matter of fact, like I said, they still show the old reruns down in the Little Rock area, and they quit running in 2013. And I still, to this day, have people come up and ask me that see these. They're like, hey, aren't you that lady from TCW? Aren't you Granny? I mean, I love the TV tapings because I'm more than just your average wrestling fan. I really get involved, and I try to make it fun for the other fans because especially the heels. I mean, I'm not afraid to stand up to somebody when they get in my face and tell me to sit down and shut up before I break a hip, or don't you have a curfew at the nursing home, you know?
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'm not afraid to get in their face, you know, and you know, I had a wrestler in the nose one night, accidentally, of course. I grabbed my keys out of my purse, and I had my keys in my hand, and I made a fist, and I kind of bopped him in the nose with my fist. I said, baby, I don't need no curfew. I got keys to the building. He ran off screaming.
Oh, wow.
But I tell you, I loved when I would get the opportunity to go to TCW, I loved the TV tapings. I mean, it was so much fun. I mean, I had a blast. I mean, but I always really enjoyed the TV tapings.
Well,
I enjoyed
behind
being a part
scenes,
of it.
Very
Mark Jordan's
stressful.
Our guest here. We got about a minute and a half left here with Mark, and it's Below Zero Wrestling, and the promoter is Nick Stoll. I'll get you hooked up with both of those guys. Yeah, we'll definitely try and get you up here, I guarantee I'll definitely help you win the match, whatever we need to do. Well, we have Mark Jordan, our guest here. We got about 60 seconds here left with Mark. We do want to thank you, though, Mark, for taking time out of your schedule to join us tonight. And I hope you like that cool collector's card that we made for you. And also for our fans listening, if you go to our Off the Ropes page, you go to Ken's FM page on Facebook. You like both pages, you automatically get qualified to win a autographed picture of a future guest, a current guest, or a future guest. And if you say something nice about the icon on either page, I might let you pick out who you can get an autograph from. Mark, if you could send us a few goodies for giveaways, we would appreciate that. Whatever you can do, we can understand. If you can only do a few or none at all, we'll understand that. But we do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us, and you have been awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Mark. All right,
thank you, Icon. Thank you, Granny.
All right. All right, Mark Jordan, ladies and gentlemen. That was an interesting interview. I thoroughly enjoyed that. So that
I
was
did
awesome.
Too.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We got an interesting guest coming up here. He's waiting in the wings. We're going to go to him right quick here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, he is one half of the Cuban Assassins, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher his name. It's a cool name. He is Frank C. Brasing.
This is Frank C. Brasing. You got it right, the Cuban Assassin. And you're listening to the Attitude Era, live on 89.1 Ken's FM, with your host, the Icon, the Big Swing, and Grammy Hulkster. I got that right. How are you, sir?
Good. How should I refer to you? Should I refer to you as Mr. Assassin, or can I call you Frank, or how would you like to be addressed, sir?
Just call me Cuban or Frank would be great. It doesn't matter.
All right. Frank is our guest here. We're on live on Ken's FM 89.1 in Fargo, North Dakota. We got about 29 minutes. In a few minutes here, we got to pay some bills here for the station, but we'll go for the interview here a little bit, then we'll take a pause, and then we'll come back. So, Frank, if you want to give us a little background about yourself, and then we're going to ask you some cool questions, have some fun with the interview.
Well, certainly. Like you said, I'm one half of the tag team Cuban Assassin. My partner, Angela Acevedo, was the original Cuban Assassin 1. And when I teamed up with him and became the tag team, we became Cuban Assassin 1 and Cuban Assassin 2. So we were the first Cuban Assassin tag team ever.
And you made several treks to different promotions, correct?
That's correct. We wrestled for Nick Gulas in Nashville, Tennessee. We were also in the East Coast, in New Brunswick, and PEI, and Nova Scotia, as well as in Montreal for Grand Prix Wrestling. There were so many for Johnny Powers in North Carolina. There are just too many to remember.
Now you mentioned that being one half of the Cuban Assassins. You mentioned your partner Angel, and you guys were partners together for how long?
I would say approximately. I was about 18 years.
And you're currently retired now, right?
Yes, sir. I'm retired. I am also an ordained minister now and travel worldwide, speaking in conferences, teaching pastors and so on. But yes, I am retired from wrestling.
Frank, the Cuban Assassin is our guest here. We're on 89.1 Ken's FM. We've got about 26 minutes. Now, being out of the ring and being an ordained minister, when you go up for speaking events, do people recognize you in public?
Yes, sir. They always do. Most of them are all fans. I would say, if not all of the pastors that I have come in contact with worldwide, they are all wrestling fans, believe it or not, and if they don't recognize me right away, at some point in time, it gets out that I was one half of the Cuban Assassin, and then Of course, they remember, or their parents would remember, and they would say, "Oh, my dad used to look at you on television," and so on. So, yes, I would say I'm very, very easily recognized.
Now, I'm kind of curious. Now, you know, believe it or not, a lot of people would tell you this, that the icon has an ego. I don't know where they get that from. But now, with when people recognize you when you're doing your speaking engagement, do you like, and they want to talk to you about that, do you like, well, maybe you can talk about that after my little speech here, but right now I'm concentrating on this. How do you handle that when you're out of speaking engagement, but they want to talk to you about wrestling?
Well, I don't find that to be a problem at all. I mean, conversation is always important, and you like to engage with people in whatever conversation they want to engage you with, and if they're interested in finding out about wrestling, of course. I always accommodate them, and they know what I do after my talks or my lectures or whatever I'm doing. I always give time to the fans because it's all about the fans. I love wrestling. Wrestling has been very good to me. And so whenever anyone wants to talk to me about wrestling, I'm always very, very happy to respond.
We have Frank is our guest here. We got 24 minutes here on 89.1 Ken's FM. So before we go to Granny and have her ask a question, we're gonna pay some bills here for the station, but I'm gonna ask a few more questions. So now, being in the Cuban Assassins and one half of a very successful tag team, when you and Angel started, did he come to you, or did you go towards him, or did a promoter put you guys together?
Actually, I'll give you a little bit of a backstory behind that. I was wrestling in Northern Ontario, and then I was asked to wrestle in a place called Thunder Bay for Grand Prix Wrestling. Then the promoter from the East Coast wanted me to come down, and when I went out there, the Cuban Assassin was already well-established, that's Angel. He had been there several years before I got there. And so when I got there, the promoter, Emile Dupre, said, "I think I want to tag you guys tonight and see how it'll work out, rather than put me in a single match." And that night, when I met Angel, I actually went out to the cottage in Shediac, New Brunswick, and I met him and was able to talk to him for a little bit. Sweet Daddy Siki, I don't know if you remember him. He was the one who took me down to Angel, the Cuban Assassin, and we talked for a little bit. And he says, "Okay, we'll team up tonight." And that night, when we teamed up, we had a riot. As a matter of fact, the referee, it was so violent that they overturned his car. And of course, the promoter, if you understand wrestling, you have two types of fans. You have the fans that love the baby face, and you have the fans that love the heels. And the fans that love the heels, they get very emotionally involved in the matches. I was listening to Granny when I was waiting on the wings here, and I was chuckling to see what she was saying about confronting different wrestlers and even punching one in the nose. I remember an elderly lady taking a high heel shoes, and she was so angry with me, she whacked me on the head and put a hole in my head.
Come on!
I'll tell
you,
that
wasn't
there
nice.
Were so many. Well, you know, that's part of the deal. You know, people get emotionally involved. I have seen doctors and lawyers and people who are well educated. You know, they come out there to the matches. It's a therapy, and they get very, very emotionally involved in the matches. But I was chuckling when I listened to Granny, because I will tell you something. There are so many grannies that used to come ringside. And we literally had to dodge them because they will confront you. And, you know, I had another granny pick up the chair. I don't know how in the world she was able to pick that chair up. And she whacked me in the head. I didn't see it coming. I was going around the ring. I was trying to get away from, I don't know who it was I was wrestling. And walk right into this big chair, whack me in the head. I almost knocked me out. It's a good thing, you know, I collected myself and you know, you can't really react to a granny that's getting so emotionally involved, because that's the game, you know. And afterwards, they were all so nice. After the matches, you know, they come up and ask for autographs, and the same people that wanted to smack you or spit on you or do whatever they want to do are the ones that would come back and ask for autographs. So, you know, fans are very interesting. Being a heel, you know, we love to get them going and to work crowd so that they get emotionally involved the way they do. So the first match, they had a riot, literally a riot. The poor referee almost lost his car. And the promoter said, you know what, I think you boys should tag team together. When I tagged with Angel and I became the Cuban Assassin, when we took our publicity photographs, I was amazed that of the height and the build and we almost looked like brothers, although we were not. Eventually, not only did we look like brothers and sometimes look like twins, we did become brothers, and he's still my brother. I was able to hook up with him just recently. A couple of months ago, they had an evening with the legends, and they honored us. The Hart family honored the Cuban Assassins, and I told him, make sure you put Living Legends.
Right, exactly.
I was able to hook up with my partner again, Angel, who I hadn't seen in about 19 to 20 years, and it was so wonderful to be able to spend that time with him, and I treasured it much because, in my opinion, Angel Acevedo, the Cuban Assassin number one, is the best worker, the best wrestler ever, bar none.
Frank is our guest here. We've got about 17 minutes here. We're going to take a quick little time out. We're going to pay a few bills, and then we'll be right back to you. So if you guys want to just pause for a second, we'll be right back. Hold on a second.
Earlier this year, the estate for Skip Jones of Fergus Falls donated a collection of electric and acoustic guitars to 89.1 Ken's FM. These guitars are to be auctioned off, and the proceeds used to help defray the operating costs of the station. Skip was an accomplished blues musician and was a big fan of the station, and the auction is going on right now. You can bid by going to our webpage, www.kensfm.com, and follow the link to the auction. The auction ends October 16th with a live-streamed broadcast of the final bids for the guitars, so get your bid in now. The donation also includes a number of guitar amps, including a Fender Blues guitar amp, plus numerous stereo speakers and amplifiers, DVD players, mini-disc players, and cassette players. And there's also a lot of CDs, cassettes, and DVDs for auction, too. But these will all be auctioned off at a later date. But be sure to get to our webpage right now for the auction link and get your bid in. Thanks for listening to 89.1 Ken's FM. We are listener-supported radio, so the programming you hear on our station is funded by our members and these local and area businesses.
Deke's Pizza, 701-235-0708. Open 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Great tasting pizza made from scratch daily. Perfect for lunch or those late night munchies. Two convenient locations in Fargo and West Fargo, all at the same number, 701-235-0708. Again, Deke's Pizza at 701-235-0708. Open 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day. Deke's Pizza, Fargo and West Fargo. Ordering is easy online at deekspizza.com or with the Deke's Pizza smartphone app.
You're listening to 89.1 KENS FM, KNNZ, Holly, Fargo, Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo, Moorhead, and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
And we're back here, and we want to thank Ken Bartz. He's the owner of the radio station, and he's the head of Bartz Engineering. He's a great guy. If you have a radio issue that you need fixed, call Bartz Engineering, and also be tuning into 89.1 KENS FM. Well, here's what we're going to do here, Frank. We're going to bring Granny on. You know, you mentioned that you've been whacked in the head by several grannies. Granny just has – she doesn't use a chair. She uses a cane. So, Granny, what do you got for our guest? We have 14 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, I've never hit anybody with my cane, you know. Now, like I said, I had Tommy Dreamer take my cane out of my hand one time at a TCW show and use it on his opponent, but, you know. But I've never hit anybody with a cane, you know. But you know, and I'm 59 years old now. I can share a little funny story with you. There was a company called Arkansas Pro Wrestling that ran here in Arkansas, and we had a wrestler by the name of Angel Medina. He wrestled for ECW at one time. He was known as the Kingpin, you know, big black bald-headed wrestler. He was picking on this sweet little old lady that night at the show, and I said, Angel, I said, why don't you leave that sweet little lady alone, and why don't you come pick on somebody your own size? Why don't you come pick on Granny? So we had a little tug-of-war with my cane, but I never used it on him. But I love interacting with the wrestlers. I love making it fun for all the other fans, because I'm not afraid to stand up to anybody. So I guess one of my questions to you is, sir, what was one of your most challenging and exciting matches that you and your partner ever had in your wrestling career, and who was it against?
That's a very good question, Granny, and before answering that question, I got to tell you a quick little story. I remember there was another granny who did whack me with a cane, and I took
that
the
was
cane
her.
From her, and
that was
I
her.
Took the cane from her, and began to beat my opponent at that time. I think it was one of the Hart brothers, or it might have been a fella in Montreal. Well, it was a fella in Montreal. I think it was the UFO. And so I took the key and began to chase him with it. And, of course, you know, that made her even more angry because I took her key and I was beating on her boy. But afterwards, she came up and she gave me a big hug. And she says, I'm so glad you didn't break my cane. So, you know, I think she was, that's all she was interested in, is that the cane wasn't going to get broken. I said, you didn't mind if I broke his head? She said, no. She said, I was just concerned about my cane. But give me a big hug and tell her to be quiet,
fam. My cane was one of those fold-up ones. And when Tommy Dreamer, he was walking away after using it on Matt Riviera, he was swinging it, and it looked like he broke it, you know, because it was one of those fold-up ones, and they're like, oh, my God, he broke Granny's cane.
Yeah. To answer your question, your previous question, because it's such a great question, I got to tell you, every opponent that you get in with the ring, you have to give them the respect. And every opponent has a different style, a different way of wrestling. And so You know, it's very difficult to say who was the best or who was the worst. But I'll tell you, we had some hellacious matches against, I don't know if you remember, Dino Bravo and Gino Brito in Montreal. Dino was just a young, upcoming superstar at that time. And we had some fantastic matches with him. We had some fantastic matches with people like Edward Caponce in Montreal, who is a great, great icon. There were just so many, many matches that we had with good opponents, you know. And the matches is as good as the opponent that you wrestle, and you always give respect to everyone. So it's hard to really rate who was the best and who was not the best. You like to give respect to every single one, but I would say Gino Brito and Dino Bravo. We had some fantastic matches with them, and also in North Carolina with Johnny Powers and Nick Carlo, we had some good matches with them. So when we were in Calgary, we had some fantastic matches against some like the Hart brothers, you know, the Hart Foundation. And other wrestlers that came by, there were some just fantastic workers that came in the ring. And everybody that came in against the Cuban Assassin always had good matches, I'll tell you that much.
We have the Cuban Assassins, our guest here. We got about 9 minutes here left with Frank. Now, you've... The Cuban Assassins have also sparked a few other, I don't know how you want to say it, a couple spinoffs. But with that being said, you know, we had an individual on our show. I'm sure you know his name is Richie Acevedo, and he's been on our show a couple times. I'm sure you're familiar with him, right? I think you taught him everything he knows, right?
Richie is. Is the son of Angel Acevedo, and yes, fantastic wrestler, good boy. Of course, you know, he's just chip off the old block off of Angel, and Angel is just a fantastic wrestler, and his son turned out to be just as good a wrestler, so I have to give him his dues. Granny, I want to tell you something. I will tell you, the toughest match that we ever had was against Andre the Giant. Remember Andre the Giant? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes.
Mhm. That would have to be the toughest, because there's not much you could do. The only person to ever body slam him was the Hulkster. You know. Not the Hulk that is hosting the show, but the Hulk. And so I would rate him as one of the hardest matches.
Oh yeah. No, definitely no doubt about that. I mean,
The Cuban Assassin's our guest here. We have Frank is our man here. We got about 7 minutes here left. So now with your career, you guys made stops, and obviously the WWE and WWF at the time, WCW. Is there any promoter that you worked for? And I'll understand if you don't want to answer this, but is there any promoter that you worked for that you wish that you didn't work for that didn't really treat you guys correctly?
Oh, there's a long list of promoters that we work for that. You know, sometimes we're self-seeking and didn't always treat the boys the way they should be treated. But I'll tell you, my partner and I had such good integrity, and we were always a crowd. We drew the crowds, so the promoters always treated us good because. They knew that we could make money, and they knew when the Cubans got in the ring, they had a good show, and so they always treated us pretty good. There were some that were kind of tight, you know. And but most, for the most part, I would say that they, because they wanted us to be on the show and or do the main event stuff like that, and we always drew crowds, they always treated us good.
The Cuban Assassin's our guest here. We got about 5 minutes here left with Frank. Now, you had a lot of success in Stampede Wrestling. So you obviously worked then for Stu Hart, correct?
That's correct, sir. Yes, yes, we did.
Now,
we worked there for several years.
Did you? I'm sure you got to meet a lot of the Hart family. Did you get to go to the Hart home?
Yes, sir, we did. Visited the dungeon. You probably heard about the dungeon. And
right.
Yes, sir, we certainly did.
And, you know, I usually do a good Stu Hart impression, but I have a cold right now, so I really can't do it, you know. But
I think I'm sure you... to give it a try, I think it'll come out pretty good.
Like you said, well, if you wanted to try me, why didn't you try me?
He was quite the guy. I tell you something, some of the big ones, the good ones, you know, went down in the dungeon. I remember Terry, the Hulk, went down there, and he said, no, I'm not going to get in there with you. Stu was known for putting the guys through some real tough scenarios there. So, yeah, very, very nice man to work for, treated us really well. Very, very famous family. All of the boys, the Hart boys, were young guys when we were there wrestling. They work hard for the father. Setting up the ring and traveling and so on. As a matter of fact, when we went back for the Night of the Legends, I was able to meet all of the Hart boys and spend some time with them. Hours talking about days on the road. And but I'll tell you something: they always treated us good, always had good respect for us because we were good workers for them. Stu was just an icon. Good man, good man, good family.
We have the Cuban Assassins, I guess. Here we got we got a few minutes here on 89.1 Ken's FM. Now, for our fans, regular fans that listen, if you go to our Facebook page, Off the Ropes, you go to Ken's FM 89.1 page on Facebook. You give a like to both of those pages. You get automatically entered into our December giveaway drawing, and you can win an autograph from a past guest, maybe a current guest or a future guest. It all depends on what we get in, and I know that Frank is going to help us out with a few. So whenever you can do that for us, Frank, we do appreciate it. And, you know, we do want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. But before we let you go here, if our fans wanted to find you and check you out and maybe go to one of your speeches, you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok. What do you got?
Yes, sir. We are on Facebook. And if you look up the Cuban Assassins on Facebook, or you look up Water Blaze Ministries, either one of those, you go to one, it'll take you to the other. They can look us up there. We put in a whole bunch of videos of previous matches that we had there. And, of course, it's all about the fans. So I'd be very, 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 very happy to send you whatever you need, some autographed pictures and memorabilia that maybe you could use for giving away to the fans, because we owe it all to the fans.
And the other cool thing, Frank, is now you can believe this or disbelieve this, but the reason why you and your partner were one of my all-time favorite tag teams, because Angel and I share the same birthday. We were both born on January 27th. It was obviously a great day.
Well, 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 isn't that nice? Ah, so you could have been one of the the Cuban Assassins then?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're born in January, what else are you going to be? You're either going to be a snow bunny here in North Dakota, or you're going to be a Cuban Assassin.
What else are you going to do? Yes, well, that's very nice of that you shared the same birthday with him. I'm surprised that you remembered his birthday. Well, of course, it's your birthday too, so no wonder. That's nice.
Well,
that's
why I remember it, because we have the same birthday. That's why. You know, I always look for wrestlers that were born in January, and that's who I cheered for.
Oh, I see. Well, it was. I have to really thank you for being such a great fan then. And again, like I said, the fans were the ones that we were there for, and we owe it all to the fans. Have high respect for the fans, and I want to thank you so much for having me on your show, and want everybody to know that it was a joy and a pleasure to work for the crowds, and as you know, I'm a minister right now, so I just want to know, leave a good word with everybody that, you know, God loves you, and Christ died for you, and he's coming back soon, so make sure you're ready to see him when he comes back, okay? Love you guys. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and sir, it's such a joy talking to you. You can call me anytime, and I'll be there for you, okay?
Thanks, Frank.
Oh, I want to say,
thanks,
can
Frank.
I say bye to Granny? Granny, love
yeah.
you. Nice
thanks,
talking
Frank.
To you.
Thanks, Frank. Nice talking
Alrighty.
To you, too.
You. Mm-hmm.
All right. The Cuban Assassin, Frank Siebensing, was with us here. We want to thank him for taking time out of schedule. You're awesome, Frank. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'll tell you what, we're gonna move right on here. I've been waiting for this one for a long time. I actually booked him several months ago, as a matter of fact, 6 months ago, and he's a TV guy, and he's got a TV series that he's gonna talk to us about, and I'm gonna try and hopefully eventually snag a role on that said TV series. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping onto the green room and walking down the aisle, I give you our next guest. He is James Bessinus.
Hey, this is James Bessinus. You're listening to Attitude Era live on 89.1 KIN FM with your host, the Icon, Big Swing, and Granny Hulkster. How are you guys doing?
Good.
How are you, James? Good to have you.
I'm doing great. I was so excited to finally get to sit down and do this interview with you guys.
You know, and I do apologize for mispronouncing your name, just so I got it through my head. How do you pronounce your last name again?
Bessinus.
Bessinus. All right. James Bessinus, our guest, you're on 89.1 KINS FM. We got 39 minutes, and we're going to have some fun here. Here's what we're going to do here real quick. If you want to give us a quick little background about yourself, and then I'm going to ask you some questions, and we'll go to Granny, and I'm going to try and beg to be in your TV project. So go ahead, give us a little background.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'm 42 years old right now. I feel like I'm a lot older than that, but that's only because of my 7.5 years in the Army. They kind of age you a little bit physically. But anyways, as I said, I served 7.5 years in the Army. I got injured in Iraq and ended up getting med-boarded out of the military. Didn't know what to do with my life. I was like, what in the world am I going to do? It was kind of funny listening to your last guest a little bit. I'm actually also an assistant pastor here at our church. So I was here working at the church, not sure what to do with my life, but I decided to help upgrade their audio system. And in the process of upgrading their audio system, I figured out about broadcasting, and I decided to do a little bit with broadcasting. I started with audio broadcasting, then I went over to adding a camera to our broadcast, since we started broadcasting to YouTube, and I decided to take the camera and go out and do a promo video. I fell in love with that that line of work. So I said, I got to go to school for this. I got to do this. So I went to school for film and TV. I also went to school at the. Took courses on how to do radio in the same school. When I got finished with that, one of the students there, he went to an audio school, so I talked to him about that. So I decided to go to audio school. I went, got my audio engineering certificate on that, and then I finished up with my GI Bill, getting a game design. Degree. This 2019 was when we had a actors conference because I'm also an actor, so I went to the actors conference and we were talking about a lot of different things. I actually turned in some auditions for the guests that were there, the different scouts and everything. And after going through all that, I wasn't sure if I was going to ever get called back, but I actually got a Hollywood agent who called me back and said that she absolutely loved my my auditions. She said she would hire me or take me on to put me into shows if I had more on my resume. In the process of sitting down and talking with her, she talked to me about what type of actor she thinks I could be and everything, and that is where my TV series was born, right there with her, because she talked to me about how she thinks that I could be this drill sergeant or bodyguard or something along those lines, but she also said that I could also play like this unassuming dad type. So she came up with an idea that she thought it'd be cool if I was like an unassuming dad type, and but yet like some type of serial killer or something like that. I modified it to be an assassin, and that's where the TV show came about. And we tried shooting the pilot just this last February. Things got a little messed up a little bit. We got it rewritten, and we're looking to shoot it next year now. So, and that's where we're at right now.
James Messinas is our guest here. We got 34 minutes here with James. Now, we're going to talk about a few of your projects, but before we do that, and then before I try and con my way into maybe doing a guest appearance or something in one of your episodes, we're going to have Granny come on here real quick. We'll have her ask a few questions, and I'm going to beg and plead and do whatever I can to get on the set. So go ahead, Granny. What do you got? James Best Venus. We had 34 minutes on 89.1 Kansas FM, Fargo, North Dakota. Go ahead, Granny.
Well, what was your most favorite reasoning for wanting to get into, you know, broadcasting, television? I mean, what made you decide you wanted to do something like that with your career?
Well, as I said, when I got out of the military, I was just kind of lost. I didn't know what to do. I'm sure you probably talked to some military people, and they always say, you know, they hate going back. They dread going back into civilian life because, you know, it's not military. That was kind of the way I felt. But when I actually did the that promo video, I just fell in love with it. And also, acting has kind of been something that I've always wanted to do since I was a kid. Going in and actually doing that and going to school, learning how to film, how to do lighting, how to do audio, how to run a set, how to set up a whole stage and everything like that. It was just such an amazing process. And being able to tell stories, I love telling stories, and being able to get you to feel a certain way or getting you to see a story and just, you know, be entertained. And that's kind of my heart in that manner. And, you know, I have a lot of stories, and I've mentioned this to a few people, but, you know, I've got, I think, about 40 seed scripts sitting in my on my computer right now. And
wow.
Since since I've talked with Scott just a few months ago when we set this up, I actually have two other scripts that we're pushing forward and making sure they're getting written so that we can get ready to shoot them. I've got one that is a faith-based script about a trial. I've got one patriotic script, which is one that I'm absolutely in love with, and that is I want to tell the story of the Star-Spangled Banner. And then
wow,
I've got
that's awesome.
And then we got this TV series in which that I'm trying to push forward and get moving forward. I've got my assistant director, she's totally busy, so I'm trying to work it out with her to figure out a time when we can actually start shooting this and try to get something that we can turn in to investors so that we can push forward with the series and make something that everybody will love to watch and hopefully rewatch over and over again.
Well, that's awesome. And thank you for your service, by the way. My brother,
it was my honor.
He was 20-plus years in the Army before he got out on a medical discharge, because of his knee. But
right.
So definitely thank you for your service and thank you for what
honor.
You did. And
Jeff Lucien is our guest here. We're on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got about 30 minutes. If James can take my groveling and pleading here for the next 30 minutes. But before we do that, I've seen some promo pictures of you, and I hope you don't take this comparison the wrong way. But, back in the day, you looks like you could have been a stunt double for Steven Berkoff back in the day.
Well, that's not the worst I've heard. I had one kid at a store that I worked at. He said that I looked like the guy from Blue's Clues when I was a lot skinnier.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'm looking at your promo pictures. I want to go over a few of your projects, and we're going to talk about the main projects you're working on, and we'll talk about your future projects, and then we'll go over what I want to. We want to do to let you know that I'm always available. First off, I want to talk about one of your projects, Operation Resist. That was in 2019, and you played
right.
a Nazi soldier, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Now,
you
should have won an Oscar for that.
I appreciate that. You know what's funny, though, is that I got that position because I had other jobs. The director wanted to put me into a bigger position, but because he actually hired me to be the audio supervisor for that film, he said, I can't commit you to in front of the camera as much as I want to, but we're gonna put you somewhere because I didn't know you could act. I was like, well, I appreciate that. So at least I got to be in the film that way.
That's awesome. And, we have James Messinas as our guest here, and we're on 89.1 Ken's FM. We have 28 minutes. Now, another project I want to talk about, then we're going to talk about the main project. Actually, I think you're probably doing this one right now. Could you tell us a little bit about Empty Walls?
That one was actually a student film. And I spent 2 days working on it, and that was another one where I got another position working on it from my main position. I was just a background actor. If you watch the short film that the student made, you'll see that I'm just kind of sitting in the background. Maybe not. I'm probably too blurry in the background, but I'm sitting back there filling in the background. And then, of course, he found out I know how to do lighting, so I ended up doing lighting for him, and he credited me as a gaffer for the show, too.
James Bazoon is our guest here. We're on 89.1 Ken's FM, live here in Fargo, North Dakota. Now, the one project that I'm really curious to talk to you about is Unsuspected. And I believe this is going to be a TV series. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you said you started filming it, then you had to halt, or what happened? Or what's going on with the project?
Well, not to talk down about anybody, so I will just kind of be in kind of generic with it. We had some issues with certain people, and it actually messed up the whole show. So the 4 days of shooting, the hours of film that we recorded had to be scrapped because none of it was any good because of some issues that we had. And so I took the whole project and said, what am I going to do with this now? My writer who helped write that the pilot ended up, because of the whole COVID thing, ended up having to work, you know, double hours. So he said, I can't do this project anymore. I have to step back. I'm like, okay, so what am I going to do now? So I was went on a Facebook film group page, and I was able to acquire another writer. And he himself actually is getting ready to shoot a film, and I can't remember exactly what state it's in right now, but I'm supposed to go over there, help him direct the film there, and then once we're done with that, he's going to help me get the pilot shot next year. But being able to work it out with him, he actually rewrote the whole pilot, and honestly, I think it was the best thing that happened to my show, because the pilot that we had originally and we tried to shoot, it was okay, and I think that it would have passed for an independent film, but I think this one now is going to be able to compete with the big boys out on the main screen. So,
now, do you want to eventually launch this on the networks like NBC, CBS, or ABC? Is it or Fox?
Well, that's kind of my ultimate goal. Right now, where I've got a slot saved in Amazon to be able to put it on Amazon Prime. I plan on, you know, teasing people with it on YouTube. You know, I've got some plans on getting it out there. Plus, then my assistant director knows some people, and my writer knows some people who might help distribute the film to make it get into those industries. So,
and you know, what's interesting is one of the individuals that was in the original pilot, and he's actually the son of a boss of mine that I had back in the day, McTy, if you remember, John.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. In fact, I just talked with John the other day, and told him that I explained to him that we got the pilot rewritten, and that we're going to be hopefully shooting next year. Hopefully he'll be available to shoot that with me again. So,
and are you able to reveal where you plan on shooting?
Well, we're planning to shoot in Phoenix right now. I know my writer's trying to convince me to move the shoot out to where he's at, but I think right now Phoenix is actually kind of my goal, because I like the environment of the desert. We might bounce between, you know, places in Arizona and Nevada, because we do have some, like, casino scenes and stuff like that. And then without revealing too much, we've got a lot of different things that we have planned, and, you know, just got to pray that we can hit all our marks, you know.
James Messina is our guest here. We have about 23 minutes here on 89.1 Ken's FM live in Fargo, North Dakota. So now our fans that are listening know this was coming. So, you know, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, but, you know, you're always looking for people, I'm sure, to be extras and, you know, whatever. But I would like to throw my name in the ring for you. As they say, this is a wrestling show, but I would do anything to be part of your show. I mean, if you want, I'll come out to the set. I'll carry your bags for a week. I'll go get your cappuccino from Starbucks. I'll be your bodyguard. I can take a bullet once. You know, I'll shine your shoes. You know, I'll go fetch coffee for the camera guys. Whatever you need, I'm willing to do whatever you need so I can get some type of part in this thing.
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I'm always, as you said, you know, I'm always looking for extras, and some of the big scenes that we're going to have are going to require a lot of people. I'll give you a sneak preview on one of our scenes. The scene goes like this. My character, name is John, is driving down the road, and as he's driving down the road, all these the people on the side of the road just stop and just start staring at him as he's driving down the road. Well, it's kind of a creepy feel because it's just everybody's standing on the side of the road staring, and, you know, the streets are crowded, and I come to a stoplight and stop, and I'm looking around, seeing at all these people staring at me. I get out of the car to go see what's going on, and everybody just turns and walks away, and then I get in the car, drive forward, and I'll let you watch the show to find out what happens next. So.
And, a couple, like I said, I know don't want to reveal too much, but, a perfect scene, I'm not bragging here. Of course, I kind of am. I'm trying to put myself over. But if you were to put me in this scene, even as an extra, here's what I would do. I would rent out the Fargo Theater. You could show the episode on the screen. I'd get people there. I'd get it out there. You know, I mean, people say I have an ego. I have no idea where that comes from. you can tell I don't have an ego. But, you know, I think it would be great if you'd give me the opportunity. I'll be willing to do anything I can to have to make that happen.
You know, honestly, I do have a part that you actually look like you could fit. And we have a guy that's going to be one of our main bad guys. He has a twin brother, and you actually kind of look like him. So you might actually be able to fit the bill as a twin brother.
I'll take it. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll even drive all night to get out there. James,
you don't
Bacinas
mind.
Is a,
you,
go ahead.
Sorry. I was going to say, as long as you don't mind dying in the pilot, that's the scene.
Well, you know, I was going to mention something about that. Now, if I was just going to say, before you mentioned, I was going to say that if there's a scene where the icon gets taken out, I guarantee more people in Fargo, North Dakota would want to tune in to watch that happen than you can believe. I mean, I'm a great guy.
Well,
I got X-Pac heat, but you know, if it's a character that gets that dies, hey, I guarantee everybody in Fargo, North Dakota, in North Dakota, be watching that and say, hey, the icon's about to get his.
Yeah. Well, as far as we've got it planned so far, this twin brother gets assassinated by me towards the end of the episode. So,
hey, I'll tell you what, if you want to put me down for that role, I'll take it.
Well, I'll hold you to that.
All right, I'll take it. No problem. I just want to read the plot summary real quick, and then you can tell me if this is accurate or not. An unassuming man with wife and two kids, with one on the way, seems to live an ordinary life. But really, he is an assassin. How does he keep it a secret from his wife? Who knows? He hates violence, but it's what is known as is good at using unconventional means to obtain info.
That sounds about right. We did a little bit of tweaking to the character. As far as the family goes, it may stay the same. We're not sure yet, but we did do a little bit of tweaking since I've written that. But, yeah, that's pretty close to what we're looking at. And there is a twist once we get to episode 6. We've got the whole 12 episodes laid out of what we're wanting to do. We've got a twist in episode 6, so you're going to want to follow the whole episode so you can hit that twist and you can say, that was unsuspected.
That's awesome. James Messina, sir, yes, here we got 17 minutes, and I wish it was we had 17 more years with you. And hopefully, you know, when you guys start, you start shooting, we can get you on again to talk about it. But real quick here, our fans listening, if you go to Off the Ropes on Facebook or Ken's FM, you like both pages, you automatically get qualified for our December giveaway show where you can win an autograph from a future guest, a current guest, or a past guest, depending on what we have available, and I'm sure that James will help us with that. Now, when you came up with the idea for Unsuspected, I'm kind of looking at this. Is it more like a gangster type series?
Actually, my inspiration for the style and everything is the Expendables. That's kind of what I'm looking at. But this is a family guy who runs a legitimate business, but, you know, kind of underground. He is trying to make this country a better place. And, you know, without going into revealing the plot and everything, it becomes a big task and kind of an important part of our country to try to improve our country.
That's awesome. James Messina is our guest here. We're on 89.1 Ken's FM. Now, let's talk a little bit about some other, if you're willing to discuss it. I'll understand if you don't want to reveal too much, but what other kind of projects you have waiting in the wings?
There is one project that I just finished working on that wasn't my project. It was a Hollywood project that I got to work on. All I can tell you is the TV show that it was. I can't tell you any more than that. But I got to be on Westworld for as a background actor, which I think is pretty cool. I liked the show, so I was able to be a part of that. Right now, as I said, you know, I've got the other two scripts being written right now. One of the scripts I'm writing, another one I have a lady writing for me, and then this one just got finished. He's starting to work on the second episode now. And so those are my three main projects that I'm working on right now. Then I've got the his project that we're getting ready to work on. His project is called Insidious, and he asked me to come out and direct the show for him because he's also going to be acting in that one too, and he needs someone to come out and be able to direct it while he's, you know, doing the show. So I get to be out and be co-director for him when he does that show, and that's hopefully within the next month or two.
So let's say that someone had a great idea for a TV pilot or a script for a movie, and they approach you saying, "Would you help out with a project, or could you help give some ideas?" If someone wanted to approach you with a project like that, how do you handle it? What do you do, or what advice do you give?
Well, it just depends on the project and how they approach me. If you send me an email, you know, I'll get back pretty quickly because, you know, right now I've hit a lull in a lot of different things. So, you know, if someone comes to me now, I could probably get back to them with that day. And, you know, I've had people send me scripts. I've read over them and, you know, gave them some feedback. If it's something that I'm willing to shoot, you know, I would talk to you about, you know, seeing what we could do about shooting it. Part of shooting is getting the funding. We got to figure out how we can get funding for it. If you wanted to make suggestions towards anything, I'm pretty much open. And I'm a person that likes to help. I like to be a part of things. So, it's, you know, I really want to push forward with my film and audio production companies. In fact, my companies are JB Entertainment Incorporated, JB Films, and Lamb Production Studios. And my goal is to take those companies and make them big so that I can do just what you said, where people can come to me and say, hey, I got this script. Can you help me? And I can hopefully be able to go over it, and if we can shoot it, we'll help shoot it for them, work through all the process of getting it made and produced and whatever is needed. As of right now, I'm kind of a new company, so getting it off the ground will be a little bit harder right now, but I'm still open. You know, if you had a script, you know, I would be willing to sit down and talk about what we could do with it and see if we can get it into film festivals or whatever to get the funding so we can make it a full-fledged project.
James Messina is our guest here. We've got 11 minutes here left with James. Well, actually, a little more before we got to pay the bills for the station. But let me ask you this now. And you know, as a director, you know, and as a film producer, I mean, you know, you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, you know, but you have to have that honest factor, like. Uh-huh. Let's say that someone sends you a script and you read it, it's like, well, you know, maybe, you know, it's good, but, you know, get back to me, you know, or you're just like brutally honest with them saying, you know, this needs some help.
Well, I can give you an example of that because I already had one like that. I had a guy who sent me a script. I read through it. I mean, it was a decent script, but I didn't like it. Myself, I wouldn't shoot it. I wrote back to him and said, you know, the script's pretty decent. It's not something personally I would shoot myself, but I'm sure you can find some directors out there that would shoot it. You know, I would encourage you to reach out and see if you can find some directors that would take this project on. And you know, I always try to keep it upbeat and positive. You know, never really trying not to ever say, hey, this isn't. Yeah, you know, this isn't you, go away, you know. I want to make sure that I encourage people. So, if you come to me, you know, I'm gonna be encouraging. Most likely, if worst case scenario, I'll just say, okay, here's everything that you need to fix on this. This is what you need to do. Go back, work on it. When it's fixed, come back and we'll look at it again and see if there's anything else we need to fix or we can move forward with it.
So basically, you're never going to tell anybody, well, you know, I think this script would be better in the fireplace.
very rare. I mean, if it's really that bad, then it's really that bad. You know?
Right. Now, do you also ever take recommendations for actors and actresses that they like send you like photos or pictures or whatever? Say, hey, check this person out. Do you also do that kind of networking?
I've had a couple of people send me stuff, and I try to set it aside in a file so that I can look at it later. I do have a couple of talent agencies that I go to get my actors also, but if people reach out to me and want to work, you know, I'm open to bringing you on. You just gotta, we've got to go through the audition process and all that type of stuff to be able to see if you're going to actually fit in that part or anything like that.
Well, yeah, the reason why I was asking that is I'll send you a link on Messenger to a friend of mine. I think you just got it, so you can tell me what you think. And she's a great up and coming actress, and she you know, she's a good friend of the show's. She's part of the Five Timers Club, which I eventually want you to be part of. You know, mm-hmm. that way when, you know, I'm with you on the set or something, you can come on the show and say, hey, Fargo, you guys want to keep Icon in Fargo? Don't give him any flights or anything back out here. Thanks. I don't know. I just like to, as you can tell, I don't have an ego, but my self-esteem level is can be lacking at some time.
Hey, no problem. We'll fix that.
Awesome. Now, real quick here, so we can do this here, so we don't forget. If our fans want to check you out and see, do you got a Facebook? You got an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
Yeah, my main thing is my Facebook page. I've got my actors page, which is James Bacinas, and then I've got the Unsuspected Facebook page, which is, if you look up TV series Unsuspected, you should see it there. And the logo for our show is the picture that I sent you with basically is me on the front cover. with Unsuspected. So if you find that page that's there, you can get a hold of me, ask me questions, anything about the series. You can reach out to me there. And as I can, I'm going to try to reply to people on that as I can. And then, you know, you can get a hold of me on my actors page. I do got Instagram. I don't get on that one too much, but that my agent would scold me harshly for not doing that. I need to get on there a lot more.
Did you give your email address?
I have not given my email address. You can get a hold of me at James Bacinas. That is B as in boy, ESSINAS at jbentertain.com.
Now, one other thing I'm kind of curious about, James, is I'm sure you're aware of this. Did you know that you have a little feature on International Movie Database? Did you know that?
No, I didn't. I haven't looked at IMDb in a while.
All right. Well, here's the thing. I'm going to send you the link to it, because there's a few pictures on there that I want to ask you about. We got a little time here, and then I'll wait for the magic sound that you received it, and
that is
because there's a few pictures on here I want to ask you about.
Okay.
Okay. First off, we'll just go picture by picture. The first one that was when you were in Operation Resist, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay,
that was my first
one.
Day on set, and they had us run up this hill four times, and, man, I was exhausted. That's when they took that picture.
And then did you say, you know, I was in the Army for 7 years. They didn't even make us do that during basic training.
Well, I was actually way out of shape by the time we took this picture.
And then,
in the Army, I could do
The next picture, is that your studio?
That's actually my first theater show that I did. I did Disney's Beauty and the Beast, and I ran all the audio for that show.
And then the next picture must be your military picture, right?
Yeah, that was right after I got med boarded out. I took a picture in my blues.
And then the other picture here, I don't know if you're dressed like a frog man or something.
Oh, that was when I was acting in theater. I was playing Bill the Lizard in Alice in Wonderland. I did all the makeup myself and on that one picture.
So basically, you can do makeup, you can do directing, you can do acting. You have all the... all the bases covered, as they say.
Well, I figured if I'm going to run a company that does it, I need to know it. So.
And now, with your company, you know, you mentioned that you want to make it a global juggernaut, and you know, we definitely want you to do that. Do you plan on hiring lots of people, or do you when your production company starts to grow, do you want to have like a huge staff, or do you want to keep it like, you know, on the low and keep it, you know, light staffed?
Well, my goal is I mean, one my initial impressions of studios in Hollywood was when I visited Paramount and I took a tour of their lot, and that was kind of my vision, is to become something like that, where I have, you know, several different stages with a whole bunch of different staff, and I'll have permanent staff that'll be working from anywhere from gaffing all the way up to construction, electrical, and you know, different stuff like that. And then as people need to make their film, they come on and bring on their core staff, and then hire on my staff to fill in, to run the stage, the sets, the lights, the cameras, everything like that. And everything is already there provided. They just got to show up with their script and their actors and their core staff to do what they need to do. That's my ultimate goal. And of course, I have it split between JV Films and Land Productions, where Land Productions is going to be my faith-based films. My JB Films are going to be all of the other films, like Unsuspected, which is not a faith-based film. So I want to provide a family-friendly film that doesn't have all the dirtiness of Hollywood with the cussing and the sexual stuff and all that type of stuff. And we would just want to have something that's going to be really family-friendly in that environment. So that's why I created JB Films. And then, of course, JB Entertainment is the umbrella company that's going to manage both companies.
James Benito, yes, here. We only got about 2 minutes here left with James. You know, another thing, James, that I can let you know is I'm also pretty good behind the camera. I have a lot of camera experience, whether it be studio cameras or, you know, handheld cameras, running a boom mic and a parabolic mic, and I've done a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, you know.
Well, I do need to get a sample put together for this Unsuspected. So if you ever want to come down and just shoot the sample shots with me, you know, I'm open.
Well, I'll tell you what, as long as you get a place for me to stay and you get me a couple hot dogs, I'm in, you know. I don't cost much.
Sounds good. That's what I told my director when I did the Operation Resist.
Hey, I'll tell you what, you know, I can cook a mean batch of spaghetti too. So, you bring me out there, you plop me down on your couch, I'll make you spaghetti and hot dogs. We'll have a blast.
Well, how about this? You come out and I'll let you taste my wife's cooking. This is the most amazing cooking I've ever had.
Oh yeah, and you know, I've seen a picture of your wife on Facebook, you know, I shouldn't say this, but she is very beautiful and very pretty, and you know, I recently got married last weekend, as a matter of fact, so you know, so we have something else in common.
Yeah.
We're both married. That's basically the only thing we have in common. You don't have an ego, I do, but I can teach you how to become an egomaniac, you know, just like that.
Well, I've been trying to get rid of my ego, so that might be a bad thing.
Well, I'll tell you what, James, we got about 30 seconds here. We do appreciate you taking time on your schedule. I'll be in contact with you. You are so awesome, and we'll definitely have you on again, and we love everything you do, and I'll be in contact with you. And I hope that you and I can have a great future together, working together.
That sounds great. I appreciate it. And you guys have a wonderful day.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, James.
All right. James Messina's, ladies and gentlemen. Awesome, awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, we're just about to the time here that we got to go. Everybody, make sure you check out our Facebook page, both Off the Ropes and Ken's, Ken's 89.1 FM, for the latest updates. Until next week, you guys all be safe, and we'll see you right back here that at the same time, same channel, 89.1 Ken's FM, live in Fargo, North Dakota.
Dead man walking.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.